okay. this is the Waste Diversion Collections and Education Subcommittee of the Environmental Services Advisory Committee. Today is Wednesday, September 7th. It is 3:03, and my name is Margo Garcia.
And I'm Chrissy Arter, present.
And we are waiting Yolanda to join us briefly. All right, we have minutes for the August 3rd meeting, I believe. Yes, they came. Are there any corrections to them?
I didn't see anything.
Good. All right. and without objection, the minutes are approved. I just wanted to share some experiences I had recently with ES on the as a customer end. We had to, well, customer end at several different levels. We got a notice of violation for a dead tree, which was pretty fast considering the tree was still dying as opposed to being dead. It was a giant eucalyptus, probably about 80 feet tall. The estimate for taking it down was $15,000.
No way.
I'm glad I'm not a low-income person. I don't know what I would have done. That would have been probably half my salary for the year. Fortunately, through some other contacts, I found the certified arborist, who is a tree climber, who did it for $2,800. And the wood is going to the San Carlos Apache Reservation, to various people in town who have wood burning heating, and some of it went, anyway, I'm spreading the wood around. And so what we're left were all the little branches, you know, that you cut off that are not exact. Well, they would be, in my world, they're kindling, but in other people's worlds, they're just stuff or trash. So Gabrielle had suggested that I get a roll-off for it to take these away. And of course, he was doing this, you know, like the week before the cutting was going to happen, that we were going to take down the tree. When I called to try to get a roll-off, first of all, I was on hold for over 10 minutes, which really shocked me because in the past we had prided ourselves being having the phones picked up within 6:30 to 90 seconds. And so to be on hold for 10 minutes was very surprising. Then when I tried to get a roll-off, I was told, I forget, the price was, delivery was, I think $35. That sounded fine. Then it would be weighed and I would pay $21 a ton, which seemed starting to mount up there. And, but the pickup charge was $165. So when you put all this together, it starts getting to be several hundred dollars for disposing of these materials. On the other hand, Gabrielle was surprised at how low the costs were because he had called around town and gotten prices between $500 and $1,000 for a roll-off that then was taken away. My empathy for people of lower income is growing in an effort, and there seems to be no relief from the city anywhere for doing one of these things. But my final thought was, aha, $55 brush and bulky. Gee, that's a lot cheaper. So we just piled it by the side of the road. And the other thing with the roll-off was it wasn't going to be there for 3 weeks. So it was also past the time when we needed it. So I canceled that. And I thought brush and bulky, $55 a pickup. That's a ganga. And I ordered one of those. They were there in a couple of days. They did a beautiful job sweeping things up, putting it all into the truck. It was amazing to watch the back of that truck take branches that were, you know, 2 inches in diameters and just chop them in half. And I thought, boy, is that, I hope the people who are picking up the trash notice that and never get their arms caught under one of those tool bats, because boy, it would chop their hand off wherever it got stuck in there. That was a pretty amazing demonstration of how strong that tool bat is. So anyway, as far as I know, I've not gotten the bill yet. It was only one, unit. It was, bulky, because the stuff is all going in all directions. But when they chomped it down, it wasn't very much. So I guess we'll find eventually.
It'll show up on your water bill.
I will look on my water bill, yeah. And it hasn't come yet. So anyway, so that's my story of the trying to dispose of a tree. We also have left about a 20-foot stump, because the base of the tree was probably at least 36 inches in diameter. I can't get my arms around it. We are declaring it wildlife habitat. So it is wildlife. It is perches for the raptors and other wildlife that choose to perch on the top of tree trunks. Potentially it will be carved by somebody, or going off to another person who carves. But eucalyptus is not a very good carving wood, because it tends to sort of, they call it check. It goes into little squares and pieces and stuff. So that's my story of dealing with a dead tree, thanks to code enforcement. I'd like to know who turned it in.
Like, how bored with them. You and everybody else that gets a violation wants to know who reported them.
I know. Yes, I have great empathy now as we go through those discussions.
So one of the arborists for urban forestry, Randall Port, he was with Tucson Clean and Beautiful for a while. He's working with the city to get permission to allow dead trees that have been stabilized. He has a tag he puts on it. Simply because they're good for wildlife. So,
what's his name?
His name is Randall Port with Urban Forestry.
Okay.
So he's got a few already that he had to get okayed with the city. So I don't know all the steps he did, but, not all dead trees are bad, but it's considered to be a code violation. And
I know.
And as mostly, if it's not going to fall on someone's house or anything, I think that's how he got some of these dead trees. Okay, so
I talked to several foresters, because first of all, the question is, was it really dead? When it started changing colors, it was obvious it was, because it just died very, very suddenly. I would say within 3 months, it went from being okay to dead, which is, I think, quite unusual for a tree of this size and obviously this age. And it probably was an issue of age, though I can't find out why it died and died so suddenly. But the biggest problem was that if it went over, it's so close to the house that it probably would rip up a corner of our house.
Right.
So it was important to remove it for that reason, or, get prepared to replace a corner of my study here. But anyway, that's a story of my interactions as a customer. I think there's some lessons. One is this issue of the cost for people of, I was fortunately able to afford it, but I can imagine at another time in my life when I would have been absolutely devastated by the threat of that cost, and whether there isn't some, means, or maybe it's this getting it certified as a wildlife habitat that would alleviate that cost for some people. Because the estimate of $15,000 really seems outrageous.
I've heard people say that it's generally about 10. And,
Well, this was a big tree.
It was
a really big tree. And the guy who cut it climbed it. He's a certified tree climber and climbed it and took out the pieces one by one and dropped them down. It was a group of four people who did the work.
You know that on the customer service thing that it's Tucson Water that takes our calls.
Right. Okay, well, I still think we need to at some point start making noises that 10 minutes waiting is simply unacceptable.
I'm surprised it was that little.
Thanks.
I'm sorry, but
I know.
And what happens, unfortunately, and what I've seen is that the number of calls we used to get has dropped. Mm-hmm. But then people find a way to get to somebody else. Friday night, about 7 o'clock, I got a call from a lady, how she had my number, but whoa, she had gotten missed on Friday. I was really concerned because it was a long weekend and, you know, so, you know, thankfully we were able to take care of it. But if she didn't have my number, she wouldn't have gotten anybody.
Wow. Yeah, I know. It's customer service. We should probably put it as a future agenda item for customer service regarding not bills, but instead missed pickups and getting roll-offs.
I did know from before, though, that it's been suggested that the people give you a cost and like a flat amount instead of saying, well, it's this much for this and this, because it, for whatever reason, it sounds like more, even though we are cheaper than everybody else.
No question. No question. They're cheaper. And when I told Gabrielle that, he was really surprised. I said, here's a little inside tip. They're very slow in changing their prices. So everybody else can be much more nimble, and because we have a whole long process through the city council. So, all right, that is the chairman's report. On to waste diversion, Chris. Tina,
me?
I think so. Aren't you doing it?
Yes,
you usually do. I keep trying to get you someone to.
But you said Chris.
You said Chris.
I know, Christina. Who's the other Chris?
Yeah, Christina.
That's right. Why I was confused.
Yes.
Okay, so we have our two-month report. Looks like we have a couple things going on. So the tonnages have gone down, and I don't know if that's because it's summer, you know, and things are usually slower in the summer. We don't have as many people around. But tonnages have gone down. And then Ernesto said he just read recently an article that Amazon said they're using less fiber in their cardboard boxes. Hmm. So we may be seeing some of that impacting our tonnages as well. But yeah, so it's a good thing, but it's kind of like when plastic bottles became so thin, mm-hmm. You know, we're going to see a decrease.
That's what's interesting is that that's the place where it is. If you look, it's approximately 20 ton drop for cardboard, old CC, right, and other paper. And the old newsprint is again another big drop, which would be people on vacation not getting their newspapers. Right. All the rest are really quite similar, you know, within just a few percentages. PET bottles are down 4 tons. I was thinking, well, how much is Steve Kozacik taking out of that? I don't think he's hit the 4-ton level yet.
He has.
He has now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so,
but he's not taking tea.
Yeah, I thought he was taking the stuff that doesn't get recycled.
He's taking
bubble wrap,
everything. He's taking everything you put in, but he's emphasizing
yeah
the others.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's people taking PET and other stuff there.
I know I'm still sorting out into the two containers, but I was thinking the other day as I was doing it, you know, okay, this is
well, double the work. You know, I mean, it was a little challenging when that came up just because, you know, people can take their plastic bags to the grocery store.
Sure. Yeah, I do.
I do.
Target.
You know, and there's a lot more places, you know.
Yeah.
But
I'll talk about it further later on.
I always struggle with this whole issue of finding a way to recycle materials instead of focusing on use less.
Yes.
And, you know, that's my personal problem with stuff like this is instead of telling people, here, we've got this new way for you bringing your plastic bags, which you really didn't need a new way, and or straws or snack bags or whatever, you know, use less. Do you really need a straw? So
I reuse them most of the time. Yep. Especially the new top caps, which have a sip top with a hole.
Yeah.
You don't need a straw.
And I've been told, well, there's people, particularly elderly people who maybe are in, you know, assisted living or something, but, you know, they really do need a straw. And that's fine. You know, but there are reusable straws too. And compostable straws. Yeah.
Anyway, so, we paid more to the MRF, $6,000 more.
Jeez, I know. That's a lot.
I did bring up to Carlos, and I need to work on something because he said, well, you know, put it together. And I've been trying to little by little, but I need to just spend some time focusing on it. Because I said, you know, we paid them $56,000 last month, but if you look at that, $20,000 was from contamination.
Yep.
And I said, can we get the idea of implementing the tagging program?
Sure.
And so he's said, okay, write it up. And so that's what I have to do.
Okay, well, I'll try to write it up for you. I can't do it in the next week, but after that, I'm struggling still because
I've got a lot of the information, so maybe it would be just helpful if you reviewed it and tell me. I would be glad because I've been talking
to a lot of different people about that study. And in fact, showed it to a number of people who had never seen it before, who should have seen it before in the city. Let's talk some more about taking the information from feet on the ground. And you remember I sent out a letter to all of the city council members about that, starting that discussion. So, all right. Well, good. I'm glad you're doing that, Christina, because without doing that, it's not going to move forward. And you're right. It's got to be written down. Just talking about it, it's not good enough.
And, you know, you know, people say, well, we've done all these different things and nothing's ever moved the needle. Well, no, but what the one thing we did that did move the needle
is the tagging.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it can be very focused.
Did you all get any information about the closure of the two NRCs?
Did I get any information?
Wasn't that last?
We did see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was what in the newspaper? Was it in Steve's newsletter? And maybe was it in the newspaper?
It was in Kevin Dahl's.
Yeah. Kevin Dahl's. That's where it was. I read his too. Yeah. Okay. All right. So. Prices are jumping around still.
Mm-hmm.
And some up, some down. Full newspaper is up. Aluminum.
Yeah, but how much newspaper?
Well, we get 480.
I get mine online, so I don't.
But we get 400, and it's 23% of what they collect.
Yeah. But it's office paper as well,
right? And other paper.
Yeah. Much of it is newspaper anymore.
Yeah. In fact, there was an interesting letter to the editor today, thanking Jim Click for continuing to sponsor full page, two full page, sometimes three full pages of ads in the newspaper to keep it going. So that is a public service of sorts. Okay. All right. So.
Oh, the contract.
What's happening to the contract?
It's still being reviewed internally.
How long?
Well, we've extended it through September.
So you have 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And so internally means that we haven't even sent it over to waste management?
I believe that's correct.
So it's held up at the attorney's office, or?
You know, I don't know. And I have to tell you that I haven't really had a chance to ask Carlos, because everybody's just been so busy.
Okay. All right.
Which contract is this?
With the Murph. With Republic Services.
For the Murph, right. Okay. It's not waste management.
No.
I'm sorry, I misspoke, didn't I? It's Republic. You're right. Thanks, Frank, for the correction. I guess I'm not doing very well today. I didn't call Christina, and I called somebody from the Murph.
Hey, we'll cut you some slack. Come on.
Oh, thank you. All right.
I was only confused because Chris is here.
If
he hadn't been here, I would have known.
Frank, I guess you're up next. Collections, what's going on?
Okay. So I was talking to Pat about this for Ward 6 Plastics. There is going to be a full overview and presentation at the full ESAC on October 13th.
Is the full ESAC the 13th or is it tomorrow?
Tomorrow. Tomorrow is the second Thursday. So I emailed Brittany Tuesday, and so she just sent the agenda out. But it's kind of brief. There's a lot of things that she left off. So,
okay. Well, that's
Frank said October 13th, and that would be the second.
Oh, did you say October or September?
October.
Yeah, October.
Oh, sorry. October 13th. There's going to be an overview to full ESAC.
Yes.
And good. What's going to be in? What is going to come?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you exactly.
Okay. They're still working on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So that's all we know about that. If you read Steve's newsletter, you'll know that they're are about halfway through to their 5-ton. Yeah, their 5-ton goal. They have over 700 people, I think, who've signed up to participate. There are people coming as far as Flagstaff, bringing them plastics. There are people in Phoenix who are bringing it down, asking them how to get it started up there. So it's Bifusion is getting a lot of publicity over it. And they've sent several bales off to Southern California. Yes, Christina.
So outreach.
Oh, okay. So the electric batteries, did we have anything on that?
There's not a whole lot on it. There's still ongoing information that is being compiled. There hasn't been any determinations of what's going to happen with the batteries at this point.
So when the first one shows up, then you have to decide what to do.
At this point, yes. But Swana does a lot of research, and so I imagine.
I'm sorry, who?
Swana.
Oh, Swana, yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The whole Solid Waste of North America. Solid Waste
Association, correct.
So you're relying on them?
We're not necessarily relying on them, but there really isn't any definitive information right now so that we can figure out exactly what to do with them.
Well, that's all over the United States.
Sure.
Well, that's kind of why Swana, I mean, I don't know if the Applied Research Foundation has taken on the electric batteries yet, but I would imagine that's going to be a topic coming up. And when they do that, they do a full research that, mm-hmm. you know, and like Tucson, we pay into that. So we get that information.
So this is Swana's Applied Research Foundation?
Applied Research Foundation.
And that we are members. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Frank goes to the meetings.
Thank you, Frank.
So as we get more information, we're definitely going to share that.
Okay. All right. Buzzing right along. Public outreach.
So I did mention to you last time that we're having a zero waste collection event on November 5th that will be at Catalina United Methodist Church. We have all of the collection vendors that were participants last time have signed on, and then we've also added the Disabled American Veterans. So that's pretty cool. And I've got TPD on board to do the meds. Looking forward to it. I think we'll probably get a lot more people because it will be more centrally located.
Mm-hmm. So. Right.
And we'll be sending out information. There will be a bill inserted in the October bill letting people know.
So are you working with the police department on how to handle traffic on Speedway?
We do have TPD on board to do traffic control. Ernesto has laid out the parking lot, and he has it set up so people will enter from First Street and then exit on Sawtelle or Forges. I think it's Forges. And not enter or exit onto Speedway.
Good. Okay, but you're still going to have the problem of getting to First Street. So you're probably going to come down off of Tucson Boulevard.
Or Treat. I think Treat would be better.
Come on down. My suspicion is that people will come off. They know Tucson Boulevard. They don't know Treat.
Right. Well, we'll have signage.
Yeah, I know. But I just remember the line that was at Eastside City Hall the time that I decided not to wait in line for an hour to put out my things. And it was backed up a mile at least.
That one gets so bad, but we're not going to be doing HHW.
Well, I know, but I'm just thinking of a similar pattern that because it's midtown, it's going to be very convenient that, and especially as people think what they see Catalina Methodist Church is off of Speedway. So that's going to be their visual thought about where this is going to be. At least this is what, you know, my observations of this. And so if I'm going east, it's a right-hand turn onto something. And if it's a right-hand turn onto that First Street, you were saying Treat, down to First.
You will be blocking the entrances off Speedway. We're going to put barricades up.
Oh, good.
So then how are people going to get onto this to First?
Go turn right on Treat and then right again. on purse.
On treat. A treat off of what?
Treat is the where the library is.
Right, and you get to it from Speedway.
Right.
So you're going to be blocking, again, Speedway and Treat.
Hopefully we are going to have enough space for a good line inside the parking lot and on First.
All right. Well, I hope you have a backup plan that handles people blocking lanes on Speedway. We also have a left turn lane there too, which is with the light, with the pedestrian light, the hawk. Anyway, one of the streets, I'm sure, I don't remember which one. So anyway, I guess my point simply is, I hope you're working with the police department and that they're aware that there may be lines of cars on those major streets.
We have sent them the plan, the traffic plan and the layout, and they've reviewed it and approved it, and they are also assigning 2 officers for traffic control.
Okay.
That's good.
Well, hope it goes well.
You're scaring me, Margo.
Well, I'm just seeing that long line that I was part of and took off from and thinking about it on Speedway, because where it was going into the East Side City Hall, there was enough of a shoulder that you could pull off onto and it didn't disrupt traffic. There's no shoulder on Speedway. So, all right.
No right turn.
And yeah. Okey-doke. Well, anything else? And that's, I know, I'm so glad you're doing that. And it's
the other thing that is coming up, and I'm working on it, but we'll keep you posted. Carlos has asked me to set up meetings, public meetings, to kind of present to the community what all we are doing as part of a homeless protocol, as well as other illegal dumping, because that seems to be an issue of concern for a lot of residents. And, you know, just our efforts to to try and get just things in the city cleaned up. So while the focus of this meeting will be those issues, it's also a really good time for us to update people on other things we're doing.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last word.
Update residents on other programs and services and things that we're involved in.
And didn't ES hire 3 people to deal specifically with cleaning up the homeless camps? I read that somewhere.
They got the money for it from the extra money at the council.
Yeah.
We were given additional staff positions for ESWs, for environmental services workers, and they will be helping on the B&B crews. There were also people that were added to help out at the landfill because they were badly needed there as well. But the B&B crews, there's, I thought they had said they were going to wanted to be able to have a new crew who could work on that.
That's what I remember too.
Yeah.
We're adding one whole new crew.
One crew. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Real quick. Christina, is there any way to get any information out to residents and renters that now is the time to clean up weeds? Because right now I'm dealing a lot with puncture vine, which is just a super hassle, especially for people riding their bikes and walking their dogs. And
otherwise known as goat shed, right?
Yeah, and then all the things that make you sneeze. So.
Yeah, I actually had put something in the water bill last month.
Oh, good.
About the weeds. But it's just a little blurb. It's not anything, but no, I will tell you that I just today got a draft of a video that we worked on with TEP, Tucson Water, Fire Police, talking about cleaning up your alleys.
That's a good one.
So when it's finalized, I'll share it with you, but it's pretty good.
Okay. Well, we did one before, right?
Right. This one has the new police chief.
Oh, cool. And then I know that neighborhood associations love to get a link to that to put out in their newsletters. So
okay. Do you know what's going to happen over at the neighborhood resources now that Becky retired?
Oh, we're really worried about what's going to happen because they took away Neighborhood Nugget, the city, and you know, they've been pushing Rebecca out. So there's a lot of concerns right now for anybody that lives in a non-HOA neighborhood. So something that we're talking about in trade.
Well, that will affect me because when people request the postcards for the neighborhood cleanups, I would get the mailing list from Becky.
Mm-hmm.
So she retired. I didn't realize that.
Well, I think Rebecca has those lists. The city should. There is a list of neighborhood associations on the city site.
Right, but she had the mailing list for all the residents.
All of them.
The neighborhood.
Oh yeah. Okay.
From. Yes.
Hopefully, somebody has that somewhere.
Well, or that it's not lost into the ether. Okay.
So those are the two probably bigger things that we're working on. We're also not sure when we're going to be able to do it, but we have compost ready. So we want to do maybe some public meetings to talk about compost and then have some for people to take.
So this earlier meeting that you're talking about, when you say meeting, is this just going to be a town hall on Zoom and in person? Or
no, I want to do it in person. I think it will be better, but maybe we would offer a couple of them as Zoom. Because I know that when we did a Zoom meeting about recycling, like when we were going to go to, when we took glass out, we had meetings and a lot of people joined in.
A lot of people have gotten used to it and they don't have to leave their houses.
Yeah.
A lot of advantages to it.
Yeah. I think hybrid's good. So, you know, I'm waiting for the new variant booster. So because I know friends who have gotten it and it's not fun. So.
Oh, is it
really? My husband just had his today. So,
his booster.
Uh huh.
The new one
for the new variant.
Uh huh.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Have you gotten it yet?
I haven't gotten it yet.
Oh, yeah, no. Christina, I haven't gotten it yet either. So,
yeah.
Okay. So the meetings would be scheduled as one is the outreach. Composting when you're thinking about the other one was about weeds. Did I get that correctly?
Well, no, it's about how
homeless
service is going to be working with the police, the housing on the homeless protocol,
right?
The process is, because there's a specific process, and then other activities that we've taken on to help clean things up.
Yeah, okay, all right. Okay. You haven't been able to hire anyone to help you yet?
No.
No. Are you even trying or?
It has not been authorized for recruitment. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. And who would have to do that?
That's got to come from our administration.
You mean at the city manager's level or at Carlos?
No, I don't think so. I honestly.
Okay. You don't want to talk about it. That's fine.
I will just say that there are a lot of vacancies.
Yeah.
And, yes. And they're working really hard to try and get caught up on all of them.
Okay. All right. I guess we used to celebrate National Recycling Day in the fall sometime. Is that
Zero Waste event in November?
Okay. All right. I know you're only one person and can do so much. Have you gotten the rest, all the things ready for those mail outs that you were working on and the materials you needed?
So the way things are going to go in October, there will be a bill insert about the November event. November will be the HHW calendar for the year, and there will be some changes. It'll still be the second Saturday, but they're going to move. The problem with Eastside is that having it in July when it's the busiest location is really hard on the staff. So they've asked that we move it into times of the year when it might be a little weather friendly.
Yeah.
Which is fine. And then also maybe looking at the ones that take place in the hot months to have them go start earlier. So, but that'll be the only change.
Mm-hmm.
And then November will be sending out the brush and bulky mailers as well. And then December will be tree cycle and holidays. January will be the recycling schedule.
Be the recycling
schedule.
Schedule. Okay. December is tree cycle and holiday schedule.
Okay. Hey, we're getting there, huh?
Wow. I know. I was just developing a calendar for another organization. I'm going, what?
What? Where did it go?
I'm talking about December. Oh, no. Okay. And those, Christina, are going to be the inserts into the water bill, or are going to be separate mailings, or what?
Only one that is a separate mailing is brush and bulky.
Brush and bulky. Okay. And all the rest are in the water bill. Okay. I know you've been working hard on that, assembling all the materials and things, and that's a lot of work.
Yeah, trying to get the date straight, like... One of the things that's come up is, you know, the whole issue of Juneteenth. There's been no decision on whether that'll be a day off for the city or. So I think for this year, we're just going to make no change to the schedule that mm-hmm. we can acknowledge it, but don't have to. We run the risk of having to change things. And we had that happen with the Cesar Chavez back in the day. So I think what we've decided is we're still going to just work that week in mm-hmm. collection and until we know more, because now there's no decision made, at least that I've been mm-hmm. aware of.
Yeah. I'm sure that it's hard for them to think what the impact will be in terms of what you're trying to work. I'm not only just you, but all those things which
oh, yes.
fall on a regular basis, impacts, parks and rec, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. All right. Well, thank you for keeping on that. I guess we won't even talk about speaking to groups. You'd have to clone at least two more of you to get involved in those things. Seven is code enforcement. No,
we're not doing that.
So that's a tabled.
Yeah.
And then HHW was number 8.
I can speak to that.
Okay, Frank, thank you.
Sure. So in relation to household hazardous waste, you may know that the household hazardous waste facility at the Los Reales Sustainability Campus is undergoing construction right now. We are expanding the site, and it's expected at this point to be completed around January. I would say towards the latter part of January. But there's been a lot of activity. We temporarily moved our collection, our drop-off here at the site over to, I'm not sure if you're familiar with what we call the barn, which is like a warehouse structure towards the west side of the landfill. It worked out best. Instead of putting temporary tents, we just have signage directing people out there. So okay. No issues there. And if you familiar, I'm sure you're familiar that this Saturday we're having a collection at Pima East.
Okay. And that landfill update then refers to the fact that you just told us that they've moved it over to the quote unquote barn during this period of construction at the regular site on the landfill.
Yes, correct.
Okay. All right. I guess we don't have any questions about that. It's noted in the sustainability campus plan where that is, where the household hazardous waste site is mentioned on the plan.
The permanent site?
Yeah.
Yes. It's in the same location. We're just expanding laterally in that same area.
And then the construction, as I recall, is so that you can store some things on site because there are special requirements for storages.
Yeah, so the plan is to be able to finally be able to consolidate chemicals here at the site.
Right.
We're going to have chemical storage containers. And we're going to have a processing capability with exhaust fans on site.
When I was teaching at Arizona State, I went to one of the hazardous waste transfer points, maybe the one, I don't remember exactly. And that was very interesting to see what was required for the restorage of various kinds of materials. And as you say, the mixing of the base and the acid, so you come up with a neutral product and all the safety that went along with that, including the retention of all stormwater runoff in that locale. Is there going to be a special place for that stormwater runoff, or is it just going to go into the general pond?
So from the household hazardous waste, because we're going to have full canopies and chemicals are going to be under the canopies, there won't be any stormwater that will come in contact with chemicals. So as it is right now, all that same stormwater flows to our north basin. But as I said, the HHW facility is going to have its own secondary containment. It does right now. And so the new additions will also be under secondary containment. Part of the construction is also to prevent any rain to come in and then accumulate within our containment systems. If that happens, that water is collected and then it's drummed and it's shipped off. We don't add that to the stormwater.
Okay. I think people don't realize how complicated it is until you've been to one of those sites and seen the amazing efforts that are gone through to protect the surrounding area with regards to any of that material. It's quite an engineering complexity. So, all right. Any other thing on questions on the landfill? Frank, anything else we need to know?
Just in general, landfill, of course, we're still working on Cell 4B. I'm sure you're aware of that. It has not gone out to bid yet. It's the final stages of the design is underway right now.
Okay. All right. Not out to bid yet. Are you factoring in any kind of additional costs as a result of the kinds of construction issues we've seen in the last year, or is this because it's mostly earth movement, maybe not so much?
No, not any additional costs at this point. No, not necessarily. I know you mentioned previously about environmental services workers. We also received four additional environmental services workers that are helping out. They're helping with the landscaping, helping with the litter pickup out here. So they have actually worked out quite well.
Mm-hmm. And that's replacing the Department of Corrections folks, right?
In a sense, sort of, because Department of Corrections, we still receive a crew still comes out.
Oh, you do?
But it's, yes. So we started them back up. The thing is that it's turned out that they're really not that reliable anymore. So sometimes we're supposed to have a group of five come out. Sometimes we get two, sometimes we get three. And then, of course, every once in a while, if they have lockdowns and we don't even get a crew that week. So at this point with the Department of Corrections, it's an added benefit when they do show up and we get a good crew to show up.
Okay.
Well, I think it's good that the city doesn't keep relying on the DOC crews. So.
Yeah, like I said, if we can get them, then it's great because they help us clean up a little better with the litter. That's our biggest issue.
Right.
But with our, now that we have an additional crew, in-house crew, that's it's working out quite well.
Good.
Yeah.
It's going to make a bigger impact.
Well, and I know there's a lot of public comment these days on paying the Department of Corrections folks so little money, which would then certainly contradict totally the reason. One of the benefits of hiring them, I guess we should say. And I hear noise about that kind of thing. All right. Anything else we should need to know? Okay. Future agenda items. I have down customer service. Can't read my handwriting. Oh, I guess the roll-offs. Complete charge rather than in pieces.
And then Lori's gonna.
And then repeat
code enforcement. Yeah, because that was a lot.
Any idea at all about the internal audit? What's happening to that, Christina? Have you heard any rumblings or?
I've been listening to the recording, so the IAPC recording. So, yeah, it's they've got a rough draft, but they just don't have the right people.
I've had some anecdotal information.
Oh, good.
And this is just out there. So, yeah. About a month or so ago, a young woman who now she's the internal auditor, but she was a former student of my husband. So she reached out to me and came and met with me because she wanted to hear more about what all we do. And then I was at the Y one afternoon and there was a man that just looked really familiar. And I asked him, had he worked for the city? No, he's on the committee. So... he would like to get it done.
I'm sure it's been what this is into the third year?
No, two. Only they two? Were off for six because they, you know, couldn't make quorum. Yeah. It should, seriously, it should have been done after the first 6 weeks. Anyways, we're talking about future agenda, so we're getting off.
Okay, so that'll be on the future agenda.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Frustrating.
Yeah, I think it's very frustrating.
Yeah.
Good question. Anything else? Any other future items? We missed Yolanda completely finally. All right. Okay. Well, call to the audience. Audience. Okay. Hearing none. We will adjourn the meeting at 3:58. And thank you all.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you all. And
hopefully this is your last meeting
tomorrow.
Today.
Yes. See you all tomorrow. Oh my gosh.
See you all next month.
Tomorrow's ESAC. So, alrighty.
Yep.
See you tomorrow.
Alrighty.
And I guess Lucy, you'll be there too, right?
No, it should be Brittany.
I thought she was going out of town.
So. Oh, well, maybe I will then.
Okay. You just haven't gotten the memo yet.
Exactly. We'll get
through this 4-day week yet, okay?
So take long.
Care.
Bye-bye. Bye.